Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. As we come in prayer to celebrate the gift of Pentecost, we know that this feast truly takes place 50 days after Easter. It's the crowning finale of really the Easter season, recalling the Lord's death and resurrection and ascension, and now really receiving the promised gift that Jesus said the Father and him would send, which is the Holy Spirit. It is during this time that we also recognize how this Spirit was truly given to the apostles and to the church. So we might say to each one of us, happy birthday, because we're part of the church. And it's really this birth of this mystery of faith that has continued for many centuries, but it began, we believe, way back when the apostles gathered in Jerusalem and received this wonderful outpouring of the Spirit. But the more I reflect on even the refrain of the psalm response, I think it's good for us to recognize that the Spirit is not just out there, but we believe that it's also within us. And when that refrain says, Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth, it could possibly mean that it's referring to each one of us who has a face. Because this is somehow how God works in us, because he created us. And then he continually empowers us with life and even divine life through the gift of the Spirit. Now, the gospel and the scriptures obviously accent different parts. And there's, you know, this melody of voices that we heard with their second and first reading and second reading that somehow remind us of what it was for Pentecost, of different voices and languages speaking the gift of faith. There was not only diversity, maybe a little confusion, and yet there was truth that was articulated, the truths and the ways of Jesus Christ. And once this Spirit then really took a hold, we know that this Spirit brought about the goodness of God in the world. Now, a lot of times as we listen, it talks about the Spirit as being maybe a dove, or maybe like fire, and also wind, symbols of the Spirit, we might say. One of them, especially wind, I find rather fascinating. And I kind of take this from years ago, one of the former abbots of Mount Michael, when he did confirmation and helped youth think about the Spirit even at confirmation, that he talked about the gift of wind, that sometimes we can't really see the color of wind, but we know its effect. And so we use the analogy of the windmill. And I know that it's springtime, but if you ever would drive out in more of western Nebraska, you still might see a few windmills out in the fields. And they're still used to help somehow harness the energy of the Spirit of wind that then allows this contraption to pump water for the cattle and livestock. And he talks about how that Spirit then, like I said, is not always visible to the eye, but we see its effect. Sometimes we can feel it, but we can't really see it and say it's blue, it's green, it's red, huh? But we know that the Spirit somehow has this power to do something good and be life-giving. And thus the Holy Spirit today is granted to each one of us that we too might be not only alive, but to know that we're empowered by God again. And to know that it's not just today that we receive the Spirit, but to know that at our baptism was the first time that we received this Spirit, that Christ not only called us to be his chosen daughter or son, but he chose us to be bearers also of the Spirit. Now, the gospel today also gives us and reminds us of Jesus telling the disciples, as we did last week, knowing that we were anticipating Pentecost, and to say that today we really acknowledge this gift that Christ sent and promised. But to know that the advocate and other traits of the Holy Spirit are meant to give us guidance and encouragement, sometimes in our faith or when we have to make decisions. And to say that just like the apostles, the Spirit also allowed us to be witnesses of faith. That somehow we had courage to kind of go beyond our comfort zone and to know that the gift would then allow us to reveal Christ to others. Sometimes we might not think of its imprint being really incredibly big, but another analogy of the Holy Spirit is to think about its gift of joy or peace. And to think that maybe sometimes you might walk into maybe a grocery store that you've never been there before, and so you're kind of new to the place. But as you walk in and meet somebody, and maybe they smile at you and say hi, to know that the Spirit somehow helps us reflect this goodness. Huh? We become a mirror of Christ. And to say that the Spirit then allows us to continue this outpouring of God's goodness among all people. And then lastly, the Spirit is meant to help us and be an advocate, a helper. We know that a lot of times when we participate in sports or anything that's competitive, we want to be on the winning side. Huh? Our culture puts a lot of emphasis on saying we want to win. But to think of God saying he wants us to win, and so he gives us the Spirit to help us, to be on our side, to have our back, especially in those moments when we too might encounter struggle or suffering or challenges. That God's Spirit being hidden and yet something that's with us can do wonders and most of all help us do things beyond our comprehension, unifying us as God's people and yet strengthening the gift of faith. I want to share with you one other last little story that might be another way for us to think about the magnitude or the impact of the Spirit. It's about a pastor who was new and he attended out in rural America a men's breakfast early in the morning during planting season. And so the group gathered, and as the new priest or pastor gathered there, they asked this one old farmer in Bibb Overhauls if he would say the morning prayer or grace before the breakfast. And so he began, "Lord, I come before you, and I want you to know that I hate buttermilk." And there was a pause. And then the visiting pastor kind of began to observe people and notice glances of confusion. And he wondered what was going on. And so the farmer continued and said, "Lord, I also hate lard." And now the pastor was a little bit more concerned and he looked around. And yet the farmer continued and said, "Lord, you also know that I don't much care for raw white flour." And the pastor once again opened his eye and glanced around the room or the place, and he saw that he wasn't the only one kind of feeling uncomfortable. But then the farmer went on with his prayer and he said, "But Lord, when you mix them all together and you bake them, I do love warm, fresh biscuits. So Lord, when things come up and that we don't like, when life gets hard, help us to just relax and wait until you're done mixing. It will probably be even better than the biscuits. Amen." And so we can think about a lot of times we experience different things, but to say that the Spirit is kind of like this agent that sometimes activates us and sometimes it even mixes us up. But through the gift of the Spirit at the end, we come to clarity. We come to a place where we know that God wants us to walk the journey of faith. And so we have to trust in the Spirit and sometimes surrender to this gift. And so today, as God's people, as we celebrate really the ending of the Easter season, we not only praise God and thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit, but we also say, "Lord, send the Spirit again and renew me and help me go forth in the world to reveal your face to others."